All right, welcome to the Christian Men's Life Group. I'm Ken, and joining me today is Paul and Edgar. How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
I'm doing good.
Awesome, guys. Well, that's great to hear. All right, so today's subject is going to be, are you putting God first? So the first question is going to be, putting God first in front of your priorities. Are you doing that? Basically, I was inspired by Luke 6:46, which states, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't even say, do what you say? Today, I was working at a job right by where we just had our fires, probably about 2 weeks ago. And when I was over there, I saw all this destruction. It was a gorgeous day. I was about a half a mile from it. Right where I was at, you couldn't even tell there was even a fire around there. But once you got up closer, you can see the destruction is because there is so much destruction that I saw out there. You see all these buildings destroyed, cars burnt down, and you see all this destruction out there. But what gave me hope was right when I started going down the street, I saw this big old line. I said, I wonder what this line is. It had to be 2 miles long. And what it was people donating food, water, clothing. And it was a huge line. They didn't care about the line. All they wanted to do was to help others. And that's why I got inspired. What we have to do is we have to make sure we're not idle in our walk. God wants us to be an extension of Him. And so what I mean about that is when we go through our trials, and sometimes we could just be weary and we could just be gloomy and all, but God is working with us. And what we have to do is during those moments of destruction, God opens up a door for us to be extension of Him. Can you answer the first question, bud?
I'd like to go and answer that question right to Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. See at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. And then going back to, you know, the famous John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. And then wrapping it back up to Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I think it's a very key thing here. We acknowledge, we see here, Paul's writing to Galatians, in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. So he doesn't, there is a situation, he does realize that there is flesh and he is with this, and he's obviously against Gnosticism, and theirs is a big part from this. And we obviously see that, you know, with Christ as our head, as our actual leader to us, and the one who's bringing us from the wilderness, bringing us from destruction, bringing us from all these different parts, we need to go and see, okay, how do we put Him first in our priorities? I think the first and easiest way to do it is just like Ken was saying, we need to put our neighbors first. I think that's a big, big first step, because sometimes I know when doing a lot of counseling with people and, you know, with the faith in Christ, I notice that there's a difficulty that we're seeing here, trying to get that focus on Christ, get that focus on God, and, you know, making Him absolutely that leader in your life. And, you know, one of the biggest things is this, you know, we can go and see here through the Bible how Christ is, how we are to be Christian, how the apostles live. And living that life and knowing the ways is, I think, the biggest first step to it. Because when we start walking it little piece by piece, and some of us are a little better in certain parts, and some of us are, you know, have more skills with other things. And I have to say, you know, it's really good to see how God is able to really work through us. And once we see how we're working for Him, we're able to go, okay, you know, this is that breakthrough moment where we're able to go through and really say, you know, God, you are right. You are the truth. You are the life that I need to live. And with that, we're able to start now shifting and putting our priorities with Him, because we go, okay, if here we read here in, you know, Galatians and Colossians, you know, it's like, okay, We need, now that Christ is raised, just like our minds need to be raised to basically seeing, you know, look at him in heaven, look at him and everything like that. You know, that the situation is, what's going on is there is a lot of things that are temporary here. Just like Ken was showing the fires, it's you, things will be burned away. God has promised and showed to us that there is an end to these times. There is an end to these situations. There is no way the life that we live here is going to continue in the way it normally does. There will be some sort of transformation or an end in a way that really brings about that time when heaven on earth with him. And, you know, when we go and see this and we are there on seated with him, you know, being before him and knowing him, you know, and just the most amazing way possible, you know, we can go and see that, you know, there is, we can be just building up storehouses and just wasting our time to just pass by and to feel organized or to feel strong or to feel even more confident, overly confident to the point where it's boastful. You know, there's a difference between a healthy level of confidence and a level of confidence that is just destructive. And, you know, we go and we see these different things where we're able to now say, okay, you are the way that I need to be. And because of that, you're deserving of my worship, because there's no way that I would have seen, done, or built this unless it was through your inspiration, through the Holy Spirit, and us be able to go and truly know that your ways are higher than ours. And so we go and see this and we go, okay, you know, that's definitely a big way of putting the focus on God, is just making sure that we are caring for our neighbors in actionable ways. I think that's the first step.
Awesome, Paul. Well, I really appreciate that. Edgar, same question to you.
How do we put God first? How do we put God first in front of our priorities? I think that the simple way is you're surrendering everything to him. Surrendering everything to him every single day, even the things that we feel that we have control of. Because we have control several things, you know, and those are the things that we love to manage. Those are the things that we love to decide on. But those are our priorities because we want to be in control of those things. Like, for example, the way we do certain stuff in our lives, you know? But if that doesn't align to what God called us to be, what he wanted to be, then we're not putting him first. And I think that if we want to put God first, we need to look at the scripture to see what actually means. And for this, I want to go to Exodus 23. And it's a small verse, and it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, that's something simple to say, you know, because we can say, okay, we don't have anything in our house. You know, we don't have those, how do you say, like those pieces of art that people worship. We don't have any of those stuff, you know. We don't worship no idols. But in reality, anything that takes God's place, it becomes an idol. It becomes something that you're putting before him, even though you're not saying it or you are not physically showing it with an item or something, but just because you're not letting him take control of it. And I think that's another way of putting it. If God tells you to do something, if he calls you to do something and you don't do it, what's happening there? You're putting your priorities first, which is to feel comfortable with what you are doing. And if you don't feel comfortable with what your God called you to do, sometimes we just don't do it. So what does that mean? That we're putting our priority first. And what's our priority? Whatever makes us feel comfortable, whatever makes us feel satisfied, and whatever we can get return or even a benefit from it. And that's completely different to what he said, but we do this so many times in our daily lives that it becomes like a norm thing. And I think this, in all your ways, you submit to him He will make your path straight. And that's in Proverbs 3:6. If in all the things, like I was saying, we give him control, we let him lead, we let him be the one that enlightens our path, then he's going to show us in which areas we're not putting him as priority. Like me, for example, I had a really, really hard time these couple of weeks. And let me tell you this story. I was on Facebook. I was checking something. And I don't know if you noticed that there's a little section that it says, people you might know. And it turns out that sometimes those people are people that are friends with your friends. And so on and so on. And that's how the algorithm works. And that's how you get new friends and all of that, you know. And there was this profile in particular that God told me, send him a message, talk to him, tell him that it's me who's been talking to him in the night. Tell him that those prayers that I've been telling him, that he's been making, that those prayers don't come from him. They come directly from me. And those are lyrics to songs that he needs to write. How crazy does that sound? You know, someone that you don't even know forgot to tell you something that specific, that direct. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I doubt for a week. But still, I will have that in me and I will be like, oh, man, I need to do this. I need to do this. But I don't know how. You know, I don't even know the person. How crazy is this going to sound? You know, and the even crazier thing is that sometimes we're not 100% sure if it's God who's talking to us. Until you give the first step of obedience, then you get to know if it was him or if it was you or what it was. And sometimes you don't even know, but there's a feeling in you, which is the Holy Spirit, that confirms things in you that makes you know that there's something that you have to do. There's something that he told you and you haven't completed it. You haven't done it, you know? So I let a week, I was going about my way and I was washing the car. And then God told me again, he said, tell him what I'm telling you. Tell him that it's me, that he needs to go back and write songs as he used to before. I didn't even know the guy. I don't even know the guy if he writes songs or not, you know? So I did. I sent him a message, like, hey, God bless you, brother. I know we're not friends on Facebook and I don't know you and I don't mean to bother or anything, but God told me to tell you this, you know, give me a call whenever you can. Now, to this time, the guy hasn't replied back. But now I don't have that in me that I have to do it. I have to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like when they tell you to do something, you have an assignment and you don't do it and you feel the rush and the pressure. I don't have that anymore in me. You know, but it's just like simple things like that. And I think when we surrender to God and we do what he told us to do, he tells us to do, I think that's when we're putting him first. Now, this is a small example, but there's many ways that we can apply this. But I just wanted to share this with you guys.
Well, I really appreciate that, Edgar. What I really get out of this is it's like, you know, we all fall into this trap where we just get kind of relax in our walk at times, and you know, everything's going good. It's just like telling God, it's like, you know, oh, not right now, God, I don't have time for you right now. Oh no, I don't have, it's Sunday, it's football, I can't go to church right now, God. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants you to be active. He wants you to be an extension of him, and he wants you to spread his word. He don't want you to be idle. He wants you to be so active. Talk about these fires. You know, these trials are temporary. And what I noticed today, I was at the parking lot doing our job, and I could see construction vehicle after construction vehicle after construction vehicle. They're going to rebuild. Whatever was burnt down is going to be put back up brand new and even better. Your possessions inside. But what you got to remember, the true treasures are not in that house. Are stored up in heaven. So I want to go on to question number two, Paul. What does the Bible say who we should put first?
Yeah, most definitely. As you go back to our other episodes, we obviously see that we have to choose between two masters, you know, obviously choosing between God and mammon was one of the examples we had. We have to see that we had to put God absolutely first, you know, the invisible Jehovah. We have to go and make sure that he is absolutely above this. You know, Yahweh is, you know, truly creator, father, above, and everything. And Christ shows us, you know, look, this is how I pray to my Father and how you ought to pray too, right? So, you know, he prays and shows us his examples, like how we ought to do these things. And we pray to, obviously, to Christ because he is Lord and going through all this situation. But so, you know, being all in one together, Holy Spirit, God, and Christ, we see here that we have to keep them, obviously, first because there's so much because the Bible shows us in different examples, like how people are just basically succumbing to pride. They're succumbing to lust. They're succumbing to anything that's diversionary to God. And we see evidentially and clearly through even the Old Testament, there is a absolute allegiance to God. And he's differentiating himself from everything else and other characters are going on at that time. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of discredulous and bad facts and absolutely poor resources gathered on these other gods trying to say, oh, they're close to God or El and these other things. And it's sad and it's hard to see these things happen, you know, from a more academic perspective. But we go and, you know that God is unique. He is apart from all other gods. We know that his way is there. And, you know, with the Jews, you know, going through the situation, you know, there's, you know, they are differentiating themselves from Palestine during that time. And they are absolutely the Philistines. And they are, you know, quite into different sacrificial practices. You know, obviously they are adopting in, you know, child sacrifice into some point, human sacrifice too, was later accomplished into the Greek and Roman empires for better fortune. And we can see here that God's like, look, you know, I am like no other. There's no other before me. And, you know, Christ is absolutely also the one that I put my name into. There's no other person in the Bible, you know, did, you know, Moses was a prophet, leader of the actual nation, bringing them from Egypt to into the promise and everything like that, though they were stubborn and the generation afterwards had to inherit this. Even the name of God is not in him. There was only one angel who had his name in him, and that was obviously Jesus. And so, you know, we see here as Jesus is leading everyone, you know, my faith and belief is that the angel Lord is definitely a representation of the coming physical God, which is obviously Jesus Christ, going and leading a nation into a right way. And so he came down on earth, and we now see him here absolutely showing us the ways to be able to depart and walk from our own Egypts in a way, to get away from the Greeks, to get away from the Romans, to get away from the Taoists and the other things that are in the future, even to come, like all these other obstacles in the way of God. You know, they are just trying to refocus your time. You know, just like yoga and all these other things that are trying to focus better on you, try to enlighten yourself better. You know, these things are not going to be able to create a way of path to salvation. Because if Christ is true, it is only through him to the Father. There is no other door. There is no other way. There's no other person or name you can call to. There's no other person that's going to stand there in judgment right there. It's going to be Christ. And that's the key thing to this stuff. He's not saying through your enlightenment or through your better philosophy or through some other good specific deed. He wants us to put God as a priority first and absolutely follow. And that was a key thing. Like we see, like what's it show in the Bible? It's to follow him. You know, pick up the cross, follow him. You know, just as Paul has put down all these letters, it's always about following Christ. There is no There's no other way around this, as much as people like to maybe dodge around it. You have to follow Christ. There's no other option here unless Christ proven not true. And that would be, you know, utter destruction upon us. We're just going to fade into nothing. And it's going to absolutely be a very horrible situation to be in. But absolutely, the Bible is clear. We need to follow. We need to be differential from all the other gods. We need to make sure that we're not getting mixed up and trying to get things that are, you know, tingling to our ears to try to make it things. It's like, oh, this is God. No, we got to make sure things are clear, because God is absolute. He is truthful. He is honest, and it will come, and we can go and test it against the word and everything like that. You know, there's a system here that is absolutely refined and able to be done for those who will take the time to make sure they're looking at these things. So it's very key. We have to be attentive. I think that's a big part of this. And we can see clearly that there is a leadership from Christ now that we have through the Holy Spirit, as he was resurrected by the Father, going sitting there at the right hand. You know, we can see that, look, all the apostles gave us an absolute example of what we are to go to do. We are to go out to the nations, you know, and that's the exact same way, just like Christ led, you know, led us into a situation, you know, led us out of the Egypt and everything like that. We have to lead our nations out of the situations where they go off adrift, you know. And it doesn't mean we need to go into this nationalism type of idea or this crusade. The idea is we need to do it on a smaller level, because if we're not doing it at a smaller level, then we're not showing people that absolute priority that Christ is.
Well, that's great, Paul. Edgar, same question to you.
What does the Bible say you should put first? God. We should put him first. Look, I was reading these, and let me share with you guys. It's in Matthew 6:33, and it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So who should we put first? God. And who's God? God is love. So what should we do? Show love with everything we do. Everything. To put God first, to me, to Edgar, what it means is to stop trying with my own strength. To stop worrying about things that might never happen. To stop overthinking about stuff that the Bible had already stated for my life. For me, to put God first means to practice justice in everything I do, even though there's no one around me to see that I'm doing that. To put God first, to me, it means to make sure my family, my neighbor, and the people around me can see what true love of God is. And how do I do that? Dying to myself, dying to ourselves every single day. Just as an example, we don't want to wake up early to go to work, but we have to, because that's what we do. That's how we earn this life. That's how we pay bills. That's how we pay the car and all of that. You know, so we want the benefits, but we don't want the process. Now, in the other hand, we want the benefit of God, but we don't want the process. But we need to love the process, which is dying to ourselves, showing God's love and mercy and the things that we do and how we do them. Stop worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen later on, and just focus on him and his promises for our lives, and us to be the ones that reflect him here in earth. You know, because also there's this other Bible verse that I think it aligns to what we're talking about, which says, let me see, it's right here. Whoa, you read it too, Paul. It's Luke 14:27. And whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So what's our cross? Ourselves, you know? The things that we don't like, the things that we don't do, the things that we used to be slaves of before we came to Christ. And some of us, I don't know, anger, some of us is cussing, some of us it's lying, and all of those things, you know, and those things are rooted in us. But those are things that we need to die to ourselves daily, every single day. And we have to be remembered of that, because that's the way that you can put God first. Because the other way would be that you're putting yourself first. Because it's so easy to react. It's so easy to react to many things, you know, and the old you will come out. But what happens if you old you come out? Then God is second. So we need to be aware of the things that we used to do. We need to be aware of the things that we're seeking first. Like I was saying at first, you know, or comfort or whatever makes us feel good, whatever Paul, whatever Ken, whatever Edgar likes, you know, some of those things are not godly things 100%. But when we die to them every day, that's how we put God first. If you are looking for God, if you're looking to look more like Jesus, then we need to be aware of something. Before Jesus was known for his miracles and all of that, all of those things, he was still Jesus. He was still God. But he didn't perform the miracles after it was time for him to do them. You know, so sometimes we need to reflect God, even though in the quietness, or like on the things that are not something that you're going to do, like for people to see, for people to praise and all of that. But in the simple things on yourself, like in your household, you know, we need to reflect God with our parents, with our wives, with our kids, with our children, and all of that. And when we start doing that, then that's when we're putting God first. That's what I think, brothers.
Well, we're going to move on to the third question here. So how can we put God first? I think the best way to answer this is a relationship. I think just like a wife, just like a son, just like a daughter, you know, there is, or any other family member, mother or father, you know, maybe let's look at fatherhood, right? I mean, this is a good example. This is the men's group here, right? And so, you know, how can we put God first? You know, we see here that there's a father above us who loves us dearly, who sacrifices his own son for us. Though we don't deserve it, we were given a gift, that free gift we're able to give out. And that's just, I mean, that's just amazing here. And so we're to go here and see, like, how can we put him first? Absolutely develop a good set forth knowledge of him. I think the big part is, like, don't make God some personal God of your own. Use God of the Bible. I think that's a big key part, because a lot of times I'm seeing, you know, nowadays God is something personal that you've made out of him. And we need to make sure that we're just double checking the Bible and making sure that we're getting that right. Because we're seeing a lot of people going out acting as their authorities into this, but they're not able to be backed up with scripture unless it's cherry picked and recontextualized. You know, with this, we can see, okay, first we have to know who God is. We have to know who Christ is. We have to know the testimony. We need to know the beginning to the end here. So we need to know who he is. And then as we know who he is, we develop a relationship. And when we develop that relationship, we are able to put him first, because we are able to go and say in our day-to-day walk, prayer, worship, community, service, the fruits of the spirit, and just the absolute walking in his ways. That's how we can put God first, is absolutely putting on every single one of these parts. But again, it comes with good discernment, good knowledge, good care to all these things, and be able to have that talk with him. It almost reminds me of our first episodes. You know, we're talking about prayer, right? And that was a key thing, is like, as I was showing, it's like the more he's in our heart, the more we can go to him. You know, we're first quick to draw our gun sometimes, but the reality is, like, I'm first to draw to the Lord in a dangerous situation, because I can't hold my own in certain situations that you're put up against the wall, and you don't got options sometimes. And, you know, that's the thing, is understand that God is our only option. God is our only salvation. Yeah, we must be wise, and it's good to defend ourselves in situations, but absolutely, God first. It creates clarity. It creates a way. It creates, I guess, just the best path to go and do certain things. And God might be able to inspire us to be able to keep us safe sometimes, be able to give us certain things, be able to go and to be able to really protect our families. I think the key thing is putting him first, is absolutely keeping him in our heart, having that relationship, knowing the true God of the Bible, and absolutely making sure that we are just attentive to him and knowing that we're walking with him in a way. You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, we are able to walk with God in a way that is acceptable through the Holy Spirit. People seem to say like, oh, we can't walk with God in this. And yeah, you know, he's obviously not in the flesh here in the situations now. And but the thing is, we're able to walk into his ways, like we are to mirror him. And you know, the idea is like, okay, we are in this situation where we can apply our knowledge of the Bible and his ways and make things happen. And I think that's a big part, is we're a responsible character. And making that happen is what happens. So I think it's, again, relationship and that responsibility to make that relationship happen. That's how we can put them first. What do you think about this, Edgar? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, man. That's a way of putting God first. This thing that we're seeing right now, you know, about what you guys were saying about the wildfires and all of that, helping each other is a good way. You know, we're showing God's love to our neighbors. I want to read this Bible verse. It's in Romans 12:1. It's another perspective, but it also aligns to what we're talking about. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And this last part is what it got to me the most. This is your true and proper worship. So how do you put God first? By worshiping. So it's not just about the songs. It's not just about what we do at church, you know, but what we do with our bodies, you know, what we do with our mind. Because remember, our bodies are the mind, you know, the soul, the spirit, all of that. So we have to bring all of that as a sacrifice to God. So it can be the true worship. That's the proper worship. That's the worship that he deserves. So when we give God what he deserves, what he is worthy, then I think that's when we're putting God first. So it's not just with our mouths. You know, it's not just with our minds. It's also with our bodies. And how do we put God first with our bodies? How do we offer God sacrifice with our bodies? Doing with our bodies what God would do with his body, which is help the needy. You know, help the needy. Do good things for yourself and for the ones around you. You know, and how do you do good things with your mind? Submitting every thought captive to Christ. That's how you put God first. You know, and When you give God the sacrifice that he's asking for, the one that he deserves, I think that's how you're putting him first. I think that's another way of giving him honor, of giving him worship, and show him that in your life, he's first. In your life, in everything that encompasses your life, who you are, whatever Paul is doing, whatever Ken is doing, whatever Edgar is doing, and everyone that is hearing us right now, when we put God first, then we submit everything that is on us to him. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. It's an act of worship. You know, we dedicate our lives to his service, to expand his kingdom, to make other people aware of God's love, of God's mercy, and all of those things that transform our hearts eventually will transform the hearts of other people, you know, that we're reaching with God's love and with God's message. So if we put God before us, then we're putting our eyes on him. So when we put our eyes on him, that means that what is around us, whatever is bothering us in our minds, whatever anxiety or anything that you're going through, you're giving it to him. And when you're giving it to him, it's like you're putting him first. Because what you're believing is who he is instead of what you are thinking, whatever it's bothering you, you know, whatever it is that is not allowing you to put him first. I don't know if I make any sense, but the point that I wanted to make is this: surrender everything to him, you know, your body, like this Bible verse says. And when you do that, I believe that's when you're putting God first.
Well, that's great, guys. I really appreciate you guys' answer. And I got a couple of things on this. Hold on. Putting God first means loving God more than anything or anyone else and living your life according to his will. I got a couple of ways we could do it. We could pray. Set aside some time to pray and worship God. You can start your prayer with thanksgiving to prepare your heart. Have faith. Prioritize God. Seek God's kingdom. Share your faith. Love others. Obey God's commandment. Invite God to guide you. Well, that's what I got. And I think we're just about out of time. That went pretty quick, guys. So I just want to thank everyone for joining us. And if you have any questions for Paul, Edgar, or myself, please let us know in the comments section. And thank you for joining us. And bye for now.